All right, nice to have you with us as we get ready for baseball today. A beautiful day at Oracle Park as the Giants take on the Rockies. They've won the first two, and it's DeSclafani and Marquez today. We bring in one of our good friends, and that is Barry Bloom of Sportico.com. And Barry, one of the leading national baseball writers, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Barry, how are you?
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back, and welcome to the new season. Even though a little delayed here, but it's a beautiful day at Dodger Stadium today, too.
Yeah, just, let's start there. You got to see the Dodgers and Nationals play. Boy, the Nationals can't get out of their own way right now, and they just can't do anything right, and the Dodgers can't do anything wrong.
Yeah, I was just talking to David Martinez about that, their manager, on a Zoom call. I mean, their start to this season is fairly similar to the one last year. They opened 1-4 coming out of the, you know, the camp with no exhibition games. Then they went to 4-4 and were never above 500 the rest of the season. And they started 2019 very slow, too, if you remember. And people were calling to Davey's head before they came on and really had a great second half of the season and then won the World Series. But, you know, really the COVID this year slowed them. You know, Patrick Corbin pitched for the first time in 12 days. He looked like it last night. He was wild in the second inning. You know, John Lester, they're going to have to bring him back slowly. He's among the players who haven't been cleared yet to play. So, you know, they're coming in very short. You know, it's tough for them. And the Dodgers, even though, you know, Betts and Bellinger are out of the lineup, you know, they're kind of playing on all cylinders at this point, the way that you'd expect them to play.
Barry, the All-Star game was taken out of Atlanta, and I know you've written about it. It is now in Colorado, and it's an age-old threat from Congress. It goes back almost 100 years about the antitrust exemption that they're threatening to take it away from Major League Baseball. It's a big part of what baseball relies upon. So what are the ramifications here that you see of the game going out of Georgia and Atlanta and into Colorado and then the potential congressional issues?
You know, really, my colleague Mike McCann, who's a lawyer and a law professor, wrote a great piece about this the other day and gave an analysis of what's going on now, gave a pretty complete history of baseball's exemption from the antitrust laws going back to Oliver Wendell Holmes' decision in 1922. You know, they've kind of clung on to pieces of it, you know, bit by bit over the course of the years, even though in 1998, after the strike, you know, Bill Clinton wrote legislation that was passed in Congress, which eliminated their ability to control the salaries of major league players. So what's left of the exemption is, you know, they still have their control over the minors, which obviously they've used like a cudgel this year because nobody knows what's going to happen with the minors. We don't even have a start to the minor league season yet. You know, they still have control over movement of franchises, as you well know, living through the A's antitrust lawsuit against Major League Baseball because of the refusal to allow them to go to San Jose and build a ballpark down there. You know, that's happened over and over again. So those are things that baseball wants to keep. And even though you're getting a threat here from the Republicans because they moved the game out of Atlanta for the voting right restrictions and changes that were done in Georgia, you know, I just don't really see in a Democratic Congress right now where you're going to wind up getting any sort of movement on the antitrust laws. And also keep in mind that, you know, baseball has a lobbying arm in Washington. I've known those guys for years. They're really good at what they do. They spend millions of dollars on lobbying down there for just this reason. You know, they wound up placating a lot of people by moving that Montreal team to Washington in 2005 just for that reason. And so, you know, there are a lot of chits that they can call in when it comes to this kind of stuff. So I see no imminent real threat in any of this happening, even though the Republicans could get some publicity out of it by trying to present a bill.
Okay, well, they always said in the courts, baseball is not a business. It's just a sport. And that's the way they've gotten away with this for 100 years. Ridiculous.
Hockey,
just absolutely
right,
ridiculous.
Hockey, basketball, and football are businesses.
Ridiculous. And they're not in interstate commerce. Well, how do you think they get around?
No.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
On the lighter side, you've covered Padre baseball over the years. You go back so many years. And Padres finally got a no-hitter. What do you think?
I got an alert on my phone that Musgrove was going into the ninth inning with a no-hitter from MLB.com. So immediately I flicked it on, and it was such an uneventful ninth inning. You always wait for the roof to cave in on Padres. I've always thought I was going to be there to cover that game. I mean, I've been close a few times. Most recent a couple of years ago in Arizona when Russ had a no-hitter going into the eighth inning and lost it on a misplayed fly ball to center field. But he was on gas. I mean, Musgrove he looked like he could have pitched another five innings. He was going so well. I don't think they even had a tough play behind him. And I'm also not sure that the way the Texas Rangers are playing, you can really count it as a legitimate no-hitter because, they're just a terrible team at this point. But, hey, be that as it may, my first reaction was I started to tear up, having covered the team on and off the field for 40, 50 years, going so far back with all these things. My second thought was Ted Leitner not being in the booth to call this. We were there together in Arizona the night they lost it, and we were commiserating about how many Padre games we've covered. I mean, that guy was on the radio for 5,000 Padre games. I was looking it up. Ted never called a Padre no-hitter. Vin Scully called 16 Dodger no-hitters. And Leitner was let go last year by the Padres and taken out of the booth. And here it is, like a week into the next season, and they get their first no-hitter. So I felt bad for Ted, and I kind of wrote my story about it as an ode to Ted and an ode to all of us who are longtime Padre observers who have been watching this and waiting for it for so many years. And as A.J. Preller said, you'll be there in October when we get the next monkey off our back. And that's the big one. Under Preller's leadership, up and down, they came into it, no-hitters, no cycles, and no World Series rings. Well, they've got the first two out of the way now. They're a well-constituted team. And for the long run, they've got depth and a good minor league system, and they may be a team to be reckoned with this year or next.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It's been an interesting National League West. You've talked about the Dodgers. You talked about the Padres. You haven't mentioned the Giants yet, and certainly Colorado and Arizona. What's your take on the bottom three?
Well, I wrote early in spring training that it really financially is a 2-2 division right now, with the Padres and Dodgers really matching each other money-wise. I mean, the gaudy display of championship rings that the Dodgers rolled out on Friday, is probably second to none in Major League Baseball history. They just continue to spend money. And the Padres have tried to keep up with them. The Giants are in their containment mode. And really, believe me, I was so happy to see in the last couple of days that, the old World Series heroes who they're waiting to get rid of, like Buster and Crawford, have really contributed to games that they've won. So, no kicking them down yet. The Giants have got some good young talent. Cueto obviously wasn't there for that run, but is making big money for them. Almost pitched a complete game on opening day. You've got the Yastrzemskis. You've got Longoria, who's played pretty well for them this year, even on the bad foot. I mean, I thought I cast the Giants early just about where they were last year, around 500. But you don't know how things break in the course of a season. And you also don't know, because it was a 60-game season last year, my take on it is, probably if you played out 162 games, even with the extra playoff teams, probably the Padres don't make the playoffs last year. The Giants definitely wouldn't have made the playoffs over 162 games. So we just have to see how this all plays out. But as far as the Diamondbacks and Rockies are concerned, they haven't spent money. They've unloaded. They've unloaded great players over the course of the last 2-3 years. You know, I just watched, Pollock last night. A.J. Pollock hit a 3-run homer. He's starting the season very well for them. He's a guy who left the Diamondbacks as a free agent. They never replaced him. They traded away Goldschmidt. They never replaced him. They traded away Greinke. They spent bad money on really Bumgarner, who looks like he's done, and they have no depth. And I think that's where you go with the long run of these seasons, is that without especially a year of minor league development, so you don't have the Sacramentos, you don't have the Renos, you don't have the place to go to where, hey, our top prospect up here is batting .450. Let's see what he's going to do in the major leagues. That hasn't happened, and it's probably not going to happen until all the minor league players are vaccinated, and that could be May or June before you get a minor league season, even to start. So there's no place to draw from for the teams that are thin on their major league rosters. And I think that's where the Giants and Diamondbacks and Rockies really separate themselves. You don't trade in Arenado and then think you're going to replace him within when you don't have the kids playing to even get their reps to be any good in the major leagues.
Boy, great stuff. Great stuff. Boy, that's a good analysis of the West and everything else. Looking forward to having you on again. We've got more to talk about. Otani is the other one. You've covered him from the beginning, and he's been very exciting. So, Barry, have a great Sunday. A pleasure having you on, and we look forward to your next time.
Thank you. Thanks for always having me on. It's great to be with you and the rest of the guys.
Okay.
Have a great season.
Good. Barry Bloom, Sportico.com. Hey, I want to remind everyone tonight on the postgame show with Bill, he's got Laura Nunez on, the bilingual manager for Latin players in the minor leagues. It's an excellent interview, but I know Bill's going to get a lot of calls tonight about the game that's going to happen today. All right, we're going to take a break. Mark Sanchez, who covers the Giants for KBR.com, and Kerry Crowley will take you the rest of the way. Back with you next weekend for me, starting at 11 o'clock on Saturday. And don't forget about Bill tonight on the Extra Innings show. All right, Kerry coming back right after this.